Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for all that you have done and all you're going to do. And Father God, I just thank you that you're in control of what's going on in this nation as you always have been. And Father God, I know that there's a purpose for this and we will one day know what it is. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We do know that this is a crisis of faith. I've never seen so many so-called Christians be in such anxiety and be so frantic about what's going on. And when I read today that all 49 of the Boscov stores closed, you poor ladies that shop there, including me who was going to go there, we won't be able to shop for a while. Amen. But I thought of all those people that are going to be without a paycheck. And I just held up before God, and then I was told that the government, the president has made a way for that, that they can draw unemployment as long as this is going on. So I just thank God that he's already made a way, you know, before the thing ever came. You know, everybody was putting the president down because he didn't start shouting about it the minute it happened. But today I read an article by him, and he said he didn't want to cause panic, and he was just trying to get all, and this is what I've said all along, he was trying to get all the information he could, get all of his ducks in a row, and then talk about it. And see, too many people get out there and get into panic and don't have their ducks in a row and cause yourself a whole lot of problems. And he doesn't do that. If you really follow him, he doesn't say anything until he knows what he's talking about. And then he discusses it. God told me to teach on fear tonight. So I know he gave us that word about everlasting faith. And so I went back to look for that one. In the process, trying to find that one, I just saw all the other ones, all the prophetic words that God has been having me teach. And they are all so profound and so right on right now that we need to hear right now. And I know for a fact this church did not take them as seriously as what they should have. And that's why some of you aren't at peace with what's going on right now. So anyhow, God said, this is what God told me. I prayed about this. And God said, I was talking to Chris Gore. We was talking about what was going on. And God said, pandemic is upon the land. It's there. We can't deny that. But if you persevere in me, it will not touch you. It's here. But if you have faith in God, it will not touch you. And the president was saying today that the young people, he's really urging them to be serious about this, that they're just taking it real lightly, but they're congregating in big congregations. And, you know, the kids are on the streets and wherever they go. And he's asked them to please be serious about this and take some precaution when they're out there. All right, now this is what God gave us about everlasting faith. God said, I need my children to walk in everlasting faith. This is a faith that will not falter nor fail, no matter what the circumstances in life are. This is a faith that will remove any mountain of adversity that the enemy places in front of you. This is a faith that will not be watered down by the adversary, no matter what he throws your way. I need you to walk in this everlasting faith daily. I need you to come to the conclusion that no matter what life holds, I am greater than, you know, God is greater than the problem. For you see, little ones, there is coming upon the land a time of great tribulation, as the church has never before seen, and it is going to take this mountain-moving faith to prevail in the midst of the mightiest storms to ever invade this planet. And that's what he had told us a couple of Sundays ago. I read another article by John Burton where he said the world is really laughing at the churches right now because the churches are running around in panic. They don't know what they're doing, and and pastors are closing their doors and all kind of things are going on. And he said, and he's asking the same question that the world is asking, where is this faith you talk about? And where is this God who performs miracles? It's quite a good article, and everything he wrote in there is absolutely true. And it all stems from what the world is saying about the church and how they're making fun of the church. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I was looking at Grace's shirt. We should all wear that shirt for a little bit, maybe. you know, fear not. We all ought to wear that and let people see this right in front of their eyeballs all the time. Fear not. It might sink down into their spirit, man, if they see that there. And then Matthew 8:23 says, and when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Asked a question, O you of little faith. Then Jesus rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him? All right, now when there is fear present, our faith is not working 100%. So they were fearful. He said, where's your faith? Why are you fearful? So when fear is present, our faith is not working 100%. So if you yourself right now are in fear about anything about this mess that's going on, then your faith is not up there to par. It's not up there 100%. In Matthew 28:6-8 says, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, talking about Jesus. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with what? Fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. They were fearful because Jesus wasn't there. It was something they could not understand. But at the same time had great joy because they were told Jesus would meet them in Galilee. This is the same thing that's going on right now in our country. People are running around in fear because they don't understand what this is all about. And if you really thought about what it's all about, it's the enemy trying to destroy the body of Christ. Some of you have been told by God before this ever happened that you were going to go through a great tribulation and it was going to be bad. But, you know, I don't think we listen to those words. I was going to say we listen, but we don't really understand. But sometimes I don't think we even listen because God speaks so frequently you take him for granted. But every time he speaks, he's saying something important and something new into your lives. And it's time that God has been saying, he who has ears to hear. And I think it's time when we washed our ears out so we can hear what the voice of God is saying. Now, in Luke 1:49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. We are supposed to fear God, but we cannot fear anything else. And when you have a fear of God, you will walk holy and you'll walk upright and you will walk in righteousness. And it says here, for his mercy is for those who fear him. So if you're doing all that the Bible tells us to do, then God's going to show mercy on us and God's going to see us through any storm that comes our way. Luke 12:4-7. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now I want to stop there. The Word of God says that our days are numbered, doesn't it? Then if you're only going to be 50 years old, you know, you're going to die at 50. That's your day to die. That's the day you're going to die. Are you understanding this? So why are you running around being fearful of anything in the world? Because you're not going anywhere to your day, the day your number today is up. Are you listening here? You don't have to walk in fear of anything. You know, I keep getting about the king, you know, King Hezekiah, where the prophet went in and told him to get his house in order. He was going to die. And whenever the prophet left, and King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, cried out to God, and asked for more years. And before the prophet could even get into the courtyard, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell him that he won't die. He's going to live. So, you know, King Hezekiah's days were numbered at that point. But the king didn't want to die then, so he went to God, said, have mercy on me and give me more years to live. Are you really understanding this? You don't even have to die when your last day's up. You really don't. You know, and I did that to God. I said, God, I don't care if my days are numbered or not. I told him this 6 months ago. I said, I still have things to do for you, and I still want to live. I don't want to die right now. And he brought me through. You know, you have to take control of your life. You know what you want to do. You know what God's told you that he wants you to do. And if you haven't completed, I already completed that assignment, but now I wanted a new one, so I got one. You know, but you know, what do you want out of life? Okay, so I 5 years I've did something for you, God. You would take, go ahead and take me on home. You're a coward. You really are. You're a coward. There's so much work that needs to be done here in this earth, and God needs true Christians to do it. And why not you? You're already seasoned, right? You've already been through the furnace more times than you care to count. So just stay in there and fight the good fight of faith and be one of those that God uses to lead others to him. Why be so quick to die? I'll never forget the day I even thought about, I'll never forget the lady who, she was, her and her husband supposed to do great things for God, and she got sick. God told her that the devil was going to attack her. And he did, with sickness, and he did. And while she was sick, she went to heaven. She loved heaven so much, she didn't care about what God asked her to do. She wanted to go ahead and die. And God told me, he said, she doesn't want to stay here, so I'm going to honor her request. I'm going to take her. And see, you know, so it doesn't matter how much God wants to use you. If you die, I mean, if you go to heaven, she didn't die, she went to heaven. And you say, all right, God, I'm done. I don't want to go back to that mess. I want to stay here. He'll honor that. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to stay here and finish your course. All right. All right, Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 7. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. All right, so God's word for today was hope. If you read it, it was about hope. So now faith is assurance of things hoped for. You hope that you're going to be better. So you have faith to believe that you're going to be better. Or you hope your money's going to turn around and get right. And with your, then you add your faith to that, and you add hope it's going to turn around, because then God can move on your behalf. So godly fear in Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Now, Brother Aaron tries to get you all in the right state of mind to pray, do praise and worship properly, but do you? He can't make you do it. You should worship with reverence and awe. In Luke 9:33 says, and as the men were parting from Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as he entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one, listen to him. Now, verse 34 tells us they were afraid of the, this back here, I'm sorry, got that out of place. All right, back here when they were on the boat, and he didn't know that was Jesus. God said, why are you in fear? Where's your faith? They were afraid of the unknown. They did not know who it was. They did not know what was going to happen. And you know, this is what, if you look at your life, that's what you fear constantly, the unknown. The unknown. You're not sure of how God's going to work it out. And you know, it's not our responsibility to work it out. It's our responsibility. If God has said he's going to do it, then he's going to do it. It's our responsibility to stand in faith and watch him work it out. I'm not very good at math, so I'm really good at standing watching somebody else work it out. You know? Come on. And if we'd all just learn to sit back and quit laboring and just watch God work it out, then every now and then you'll stick your nose into it and say, God, why aren't you doing something? And he'll tell you, be still. He says, I'm working behind the scene. And sometimes you want to rip the scene down, right? So you can see what's behind it, right? Because he's not working at your pace, but then he never does. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, do you really believe that scripture? Do you really believe that scripture? We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, well, let's just put it this way. If the president says, I mean, the governor, whoever is around here saying this, you can only have 10 people. All right, so then we've worked out a little thing to have 10 people. But then whenever you do that, you don't have any tithing coming in. So therefore, then you don't, you know, the bills still go on. It doesn't care if tithing's coming or not. The bills still go on. And so what do? You say, Father God, this is your service, your church. You said not to close the doors. And we can only have 10 in here. So, Father, you're going to have to make a way. There is no way. And then you have to keep going on. You don't sit in front and worry about it. You just keep going on. If you don't believe that, Chris, don't sit back and shake your head. Same applies to your personal life. All right. Come on, God can move the mountain. See, we don't have enough faith for the mountain to be moved. We fret about it. We worry about it. We get all concerned, fight with our husband and wife about it. Yell at the kids. Kick the dog. Because we cannot make the thing go away. Right? And God's just waiting for you to just shut up and be still and allow him to work the work. But you don't have enough faith. And God's been teaching us about faith. He even told us about fear. And now the whole country's in fear of what's going to happen. Proverbs 7 verse 1 says, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. All right? God told us to write the law on our hearts. But he also said in Habakkuk 2, 1 and 3, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. It will not lie. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not delay. We must take God's vision and write it on the tablets of our hearts. Place a note on the refrigerator. Place a note on your bathroom mirror. Place a note wherever you can see it and keep it ever before your eyes. Now, when I was first born again, they taught me that. So I had notes stuck everywhere, on my bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, you know, on my computer, everywhere. So that was right before my eyes. But how many people do that today? Didn't that encourage you? Didn't that give you faith, grace, encourage you, right? God said it, and there it is. So you wrote it down. Just like he gave me the vision for the church, what he's going to do with the church when it first started. I wrote it down. I constantly read it and constantly read it and constantly read it till it was in my spirit, and the devil couldn't take it away from me. Maybe you need to start having little note, what do you call them, post-its around everywhere. You do it for everything else. Why don't you do it to remind you what God said to you? Devil, you're a liar and you're under my feet. You're just under my feet. I had a vision last night. I woke up after it. But Jesus was standing on a stool and he was barefooted and he jumped down and jumped on the serpent's head, and the serpent's head just splattered everywhere. And I said, what did I just see? So I got a rerun. And Jesus said, I've told you to stand on this devil's head until he's destroyed. But all he did was jumped off the stool and jumped on the serpent's head barefooted, and his head was just smashed to smithereens. That's where his faith is at. Where's your faith? I'm stomping on your head, devil. Stomp, 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 stomp. And then in your heart you're saying, I hope this works. You know? Or if you don't say it in your heart, then you keep watching, see if it really did work. Same thing, no faith. Are you listening to this? And I'm hearing God, it's the unknown that you are fearful of. And he said, I've already told you, you've never gone this way before. And so you won't know what you're getting into. And he said, fear not. Fear not. All right, God said, okay, now I'm taking you off the path I had your feet on for 50 years. And now I'm going to put you on another path. And you're saying, whoa. Because you're stuck over here in your 10-year path. And now God's putting you a new path. And he's not really telling you anything about this new path except, you're on a new path. Trust me. And so you have to take that, like Abraham, take that first step of faith and trust God, and knowing that he knows exactly what he wants to do. Remember that movie, that guy, he steps out in that cliff. He's in the clouds. And he steps out, not knowing if there's going to be a path there or not. And there was. That thing has stuck in my head. Because that's what God wants us to do. Just take that step of faith. Not knowing if there's going to be anything under your feet or not, just take that step of faith and move on. And quit standing back here looking at that cloud thing. What's under there? Can I step on it? I'm sorry, your faith level's not up. I know that. Your faith level's not up. It just isn't. You're going to have to start trusting God like you've never trusted him before. He told that to us a couple weeks ago. Did we grab hold of it? All right. 1 John 4:17 says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Just where is our love walk? If you're running and walking in fear, where's your love walk? That's where your crack's at. It's in your love walk. First of all, you don't love God the way you ought. You don't love your brother and sister the way you ought. And therefore, fear gets in there. And fear starts destroying. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, this is the Bible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, everybody should get that and put that on your forehead. All right. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to who? God. Not to Aaron, not to Nancy, Nancy Willis there, not to Chris Gore, but to God. And if you do that, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You can say, they're a mess. You're not supposed to think about those things. Isn't that what it just said here? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. I think that Paul wrote that, but that's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. If we would all do this, boy, we would have angel wings. Because we'd be soaring in the heavenlies all the time, right? But we have to do this. We really have to get to the place where this is how we walk 24/7. I used to walk that way 24/7, and I lost sight of that. And I've been really, really begging God to let me walk back in that place again. Or if he doesn't want me to go backwards into what I had, well then, and I'm not talking about miracles, I'm talking about my own personal feelings, then if he doesn't want me to go back, if there's something greater, that maybe there's more in me that's greater than what I had, then whatever it is, God, I want that release in me. I want to honestly be able to, when somebody smacks me in the head, say, that's okay. That's okay. God's grace is sufficient. All right? It doesn't matter what anybody does to me. I had to practice that today, too. But, you know, and I am really, really, really trying to be just like Jesus. Because, you know, when they whipped him with the whip, put the thorns on his head and spit on him and made all kind of fun at him, and, you know, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You know, we say that, but we don't say it from the heart. We say it from the lips and think in our mind, I'd like to kill them. You know, and we can't do that. Jesus didn't think that. I know he didn't. Father, forgive them, for they really do not know what they're doing. And I'm hearing God say, do you think you're a bastard child? That you can go around and be an evil? You're a child of the Most High God. And you're supposed to act just like Jesus did. And I know this learning phase is a long time coming. I know that because preachers haven't been preaching this. I've been preaching for over, 45 years now, but preachers aren't preaching this. And so the body of Christ doesn't know what to do. They're messed up. And each one of you in here tonight, you've been around the teaching of God, the truth of God's word long enough that when you go out there, you should be able to teach somebody else the truth of God's word. Don't worry about what they say to you. Don't worry about how they look at you. You just tell them the truth of God's word. I don't care. You know, there's a whole lot of things I had to learn. I had to learn how to walk with God all over again when I became born again. I didn't know Jesus talked to me. Did you? Did you really know that? And then when you find out when Jesus talks to you, and you can talk to him, and you can have a relationship, your whole life changes, doesn't it? I mean, it's just a whole different lifestyle. Saints, this is where we have to be. We have to start getting there tonight. We should already be there. Because with what's going on out there, and they're saying it's going to get worse, and I don't know if it is or not, but they're saying it's going to get worse, who are they going to turn to? To the world or to the government who doesn't know what's going on? To the fake media? God's going to send them to you. Each one of you in here, they're going to send them to you. God's going to send them to you. And God's going to expect you to pull them up. You know, when God told me not to close the church doors, he said, you keep the members of Lighthouse Church encouraged and lifted up at all times. He didn't say the world. You people who God has placed under my wings, I'm supposed to keep you encouraged and lifted up. Why? So you can go out there and encourage and lift others up. And, you know, before we die, we're all going to make mistakes, more than one. But that should never keep you down. Like my earthly father used to say to me, he says, grab yourself by the bootstraps, pull yourself up, because nobody else is going to. When you're down, people kick you, he told me. He says, I'm teaching you right now, you grab yourself by the bootstraps and you pull yourself up and you go on, not wanting somebody else to pull you up, but you pull your own self up. And this is what we have to do. We have to learn to pull our own self up. Because I'm sorry, right now the body of Christ is not able to pull you up. The body of Christ wants to kick and spit and carry on like a fool and keep you down. Our job is to pull you up. How do we know what to do? Because God tells us this is what's going on with Aaron now. And so I'm telling you what's going on with Aaron so you can go and minister to him. Pull him up, right? I don't know to pull Aaron up if God, I don't know anything's wrong with him. And he's not going to tell me. He's going to come and smile on my face. I'm using you because I know you won't be offended, okay? But, you know, he's not going to, you know, come and smile on my face. I mean, he's going to come and smile on my face, act like he's just fine. But God says, look closely at the face. Watch the eyes. Because I want you to see what they're really doing, what they're really thinking, what's really going on behind those eyes, behind that face. Are you hearing me here? And then if you'll do that and be a hospital and not a blabbermouth, and God then will use you to help that person get back up on their feet again. All right? God, this is another prophetic word I ran across. From this moment forth, you shall walk in perfect peace and harmony with heaven. I just thought this went so well with tonight. I have canceled out all distraction and foreboding in your lives. This is what he's doing to you tonight. This is the day of total and complete freedom in every day of your lives. God wants you to walk free from fear tonight. You honestly do not have anything to fear. You honestly don't. If God allows you to go through the furnace, and he walks through the furnace with you. If he allows you to go down into a deep, dark valley, he's down in it. Because he's always told me, he said, daughter, I'm with you wherever I send you. And we all know that every one of us have walked in some really deep valleys. But we're not in them no more. God walked with us and brought us out of them. You know, you might be the one to save another soul. By taking her hand and saying, here, I'm with you. I'm going to walk through this with you. And you and I and God can make it. We'll get out of this. Please don't let any soul down in a valley by themselves. Please seek God's face, how to lift them up out of that valley. God said, this day you shall walk forth in total freedom, and you shall destroy the enemy on all sides. God doesn't lie. There never has been anything that can separate you from your Heavenly Father, but the enemy has made my people believe they have no choice in this life but to be harassed on all sides. That's how the body of Christ lives. That is not true. Did God not say in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon? And I've noticed everything I've read in the last 2 days are using that scripture. Everybody has that scripture in what they're saying. And Isaiah 54:17 says, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. This is a Message Bible. Any accuser who takes you to court, I've used this because I like the court thing, Aaron. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best, God's decree. You guys in here are studying about the courts. That should excite you. It did me. Little things excite me. Let's read that again in the Message Bible. But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. See, takes you to court. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. God's decree. God's already in court. All we have to do is walk up and say, okay, God, now let's get this thing over with. Sign a little decree and let me go. Tell the enemy where he can go. God's just waiting for you to get there and to do that. But instead, my boss is on my back and my kids won't straighten out, blah, 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 you know. And if God's just waiting for you to come to the courtroom so he can tell the enemy to get lost and set you free. And Isaiah 54:17 in the Living Bible says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you shall succeed, and you will have justice against every courtroom. See, there it is again, courtroom lie. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the blessing I have given you, says the Lord. Come on. I'm excited about the court, the courtroom, and all this, that, and the other. I know I've been listening to you teach on it for 2 years, too, but I just finally got excited about it. This must be, so everybody get a revelation right now tonight. This is revelation time. And don't sit there and judge me, because I don't care if you judge me or not. There's more than me that hasn't gotten a revelation yet of it. So let's read that again in the Living Bible. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you shall succeed, and you will have justice against every courtroom lie. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the blessing I've given you, says the Lord. Now, see, I feel really special because God gave me this 40 years ago. He said, Isaiah 54 is your verse. You stand on that because it's your verse. And even in there, it says that for a little while, he was upset with me. But with loving kindness, he's gathered me into his bosom. And he did get upset with me. So I've lived Isaiah 54. But I love 17 and those other versions of the Bible. I'm excited because this virus that's going around is going to bring the judgment of God against the enemy. And it's going to bring revival in the house of God, because people are finally going to understand that they do serve a living and true God. And the people who sit in the house of God and were just playing church are going to stop playing church, and they're going to get excited about church. And they're going to be out there winning the lost to Christ. God's going to turn this thing around on the devil, and it's going to be for God's good and his glory. And the whole world's going to see what kind of God we truly do serve. All right. So I want everybody to start wearing their no fear, whatever the fear says, fear not shirts. And we're going to let the world see that we believe what the word of God says. And tonight, if you still have some fear in you, what God wants to do is to release you totally and completely from fear. You're not going to fear anything. You're not going to fear man, woman. You're not going to fear what anybody says to you and or does to you. You're just going to walk around with a big smile on your face and look stupid like I do a lot. And you'll just be enjoying life while they're out there being all upset. We're enjoying life, right? Because we know the truth. Remember what I told you, the vision with the gold swords? That we already fought the battle, and we were already standing in the victory circle. So you've already won.